I have visual aids today. This is going to be awesome. How is everybody? I'm coming down with a cold, I think. I know it's not COVID because I've taken the test twice, either. But that doesn't say anything about me because I may not know if I may not be able to count to six. So you have to put six drops in this thing, right? You guys have you done a home COVID test yet? What a pain. But today I'm going to start with talking about a guy named Mason Betha. He was a rapper. Talk about hip-hop, man. Back in the early days of this stuff in Atlanta, Georgia, he went by the name of Rapper Mass. That was Mass with the dollar sign for the S. It actually stood for mass murder. He was killing it back in the day, just crushing it. He was signed by, you guys ever heard of Sean Puff Daddy, Puffy Combs, right? He was signed by Puffy Combs to Bad Boy Records. He was so good at what he did that when people wanted him to appear on them records, it cost them $100,000 just to appear. If he said two words, $100,000. He had cars. He had a BMW, a Mercedes convertible, a diamond-encrusted Rolex that would have cost more than most people's houses today. And by his own admission, he said this, "I'm leading kids straight to hell." You see, the people that were listening to his music were going out and trying to emulate his lifestyle. His theory of music involved three things: money, women, and power. But in 1999, man, he gave it all away. He walked away from everything. He gave away his BMW, his Land Rover, his Mercedes convertible, and he gave away the diamond-encrusted Rolex. Walked away. You see, God had all of a sudden got a hold of him and called him to something higher, and he dropped everything. He started a church called Saving a Nation Endangered Ministries. And now he models a life that reflects the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing within him. But that was then. I don't know how many of you are as broken as I am about what happened in Buffalo yesterday. I'm broken by this. I'm broken by the attitudes of the nation over what's going on in Washington, D.C. with abortion. I'm broken over this. And I'm broken of this because of the fact that as I stand here before you and all of us are pro-life, we are being relentlessly attacked. You know why? Because there has to be somebody to blame. There has to be somebody to blame for this change. And you know what? What better place to put blame than the church, right? What better place to put blame? After all, we're hypocrites, right? We have this now that they're talking about, this just another example of a case for freedom from religion. And man, it's even gotten worse. They're talking about how Christians, we shouldn't be able to stand for anything because we don't read our Bibles. We read our Bibles, right? Right? And not just when the pastor comes to your house, right? God. But, you know, the other things they're saying we don't even know how to read because the only thing we need to do with our Bible is we know how to thump it. Any Bible thumpers in here? Just me? Get out. You know what else? Get this, right? I'm being accused right now of indoctrinating y'all. Because y'all, you know, right? If y'all don't think like me, but this is not new. Paul, our message today is the same thing that Paul faced when he was preaching at the church at Corinth, a church he planted. They're like, dude, you know. And so I want to tell you this. This whole message, man, is about being authentic. Because right now, man, people have got these wild-eyed opinions about who we're supposed to be in Christ. Us being authentic in Christ is one of the key fundamentals of how we go for Christ, because if we're not authentic in Christ, it affects our witness for Christ. And listen, brothers and sisters, right? Listen, will you hear me out real quick? Has there ever been a more important time for people to come know Jesus? Huh? There has never been a more, well, except for when Jesus actually came. There's never been a more important time for us to get out and talk about who Christ is, to be the humble servants that Christ has called us to be. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive into 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 today. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And see, the Bible titles this passage, The Ministers of the New Covenant. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we're going to dive into our text today. Father God, Lord, if a nation ever needed you, we need you now. We need you, Lord, to heal the hurts and those hurting. We need you, Lord, to be upon those, Lord, that are seeking vengeance and revenge. Because, Lord, that's not who you called us to be. And so, God, as we come before you today, Lord, thanking you for the word, the words of life and the words of the living, from the living water that you've given us, God, we just ask, Lord, for your spirit to be upon us, that it cleanses of our unrighteousness so that we can receive, Lord, the words that you so gracefully put to the church at Corinth through the Apostle Paul. And, Lord, how that through these words, Lord, we can come to understand you better. We can come to understand how to live for you better. And we can understand how to be a witness, Lord, how to model a life that is pleasing and good to you. So, God, be with us now. Open our hearts. Give us a heart of flesh, Lord, a heart of flesh. Take the hardness from our hearts, Lord, and give us a heart of flesh ready to receive, Lord, what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. In case you're not familiar with the Bible, that's right after 1 Corinthians. That's 1 and 2. We're going to be in the second one today, and we're going to be in chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. So it says here, ministers of the new covenant. It says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you know that you are, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, But the Spirit gives life. Man, what a beautiful passage. So three things I want to show you today. I want to talk about authentic Christianity, and I want to talk about what Joe mentioned earlier, about how authentic Christianity is evident. It's evident by a changed life. Authentic Christianity is also evidence of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. And finally, I want to show you that authentic Christianity is God-centered and not self-centered. So authentic Christianity is God-centered and not self-centered. So let's start with the first one. Authentic Christianity is evident by changed lives. Paul says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we, as some do, need letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. I can stand up here today, man, and see how God has been working in our church. I go back, you know, from the time that I've gotten here, I mean, it's been a fast time. But man, we've had awesome things happen. Wonderful time at Christmas with our family Christmas tree. Easter was awesome with a great outreach. The Tenenbray service. We have had new people join us. We have had people come back. We have had a number of things that we can stand on. Baptisms, people giving their lives to Christ, leaning up on this altar, surrendering themselves. It would be so easy for us right now to look at ourselves and say, well done, good and faithful servants. Let's rest. But that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to continue to do his work. And right now, we are fixing to partner with Bismarck Henning Elementary School. Can you edit that? Right now, we're fixed to partner with Bismarck Henning Elementary School, and we're going to put in a sensory garden for them, an outdoor learning environment where kids can come and have this wonderful experience in school. We have people right now in this church that are coming to us and talking about how they have a passion for ministry, to help others. That's a beautiful thing. Let's rest. God is moving mightily here. And yet, as we come, there's so many hurting people out there. So many people angry and bitter and attacking everything because they disagree with you. And now that anger's starting to play out, man, and stuff that's going on like up in Buffalo. And what they need to hear is the word that the Lord loves us. They need to hear of it, that God is love. And they need us to show them, amen? They need us to tell them. Back in the day, that same thing was going on. Paul had planted this church in Corinth, and he went back to visit him, and they say, no, Paul, you can't preach here. We need a letter of recommendation from you. What? We need to know what your beliefs are. Because, see, there had been people going from town to town to town preaching God's word. And every time they stepped up to a house church, right, those people asked, we need letters of recommendation from you. Matter of fact, Paul wrote several of them. You look in the chapter of Romans, he wrote one for the church at Rome. He wrote it about Phoebe. He said this. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church of Centuria. And I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints. Not just receive her, but receive her in a way of an apostle. How awesome is that? And And now he stands before this same church that he planted, and they're like, no, you can't preach here. And he says, wait, do I need to rehash out everything that I have already done and accomplished so that I can preach to you? Did I not teach you? Do I need to prove my beliefs and my faith? Maybe that's us. Maybe that's us. Maybe we're the same people that Paul is. It's like, man, look, I'm a Christian. How many times do I have to show you? Why do I have to prove it to you? Because the media says otherwise. Amen. Media said otherwise. You know, I think there's times, and this is one of those times right now, that we really need to reflect. We really need to take a look at ourselves and ask ourselves, is our life evident of an indwelling of Christ? Is our life really evident? Listen to what Paul says. He says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, others may think I am not an apostle, but you are proof that I am an apostle to you. And the message says it this way. Even if no one else admits the authority of my commission, you can't deny it. Why? Because my work with you is living proof. Paul says, my work is living proof. You ever wondered how people perceive your Christian walk? I do. I wonder that all the time. Because you know why? Because I have a past. I have a past. And I'm always waiting for somebody to run into me who says, I see who you say you are, but I knew you then. I knew you then. I see you now. But I knew you then. Because see, I still fall short, brothers and sisters. I still fall short. I get angry. Not like I did at one time, but I get angry. I misread. I judge. What? The pastor judging people? Yes, I do. I fall short. Anybody else in here like me? How many in here jump to conclusions? Yeah, we're awful. We got this thing in our life called sin. All of us. You, me, him. I'm not pointing to anybody specific. That's just for the camera. I don't want you guys to think I'm like pointing to somebody specifically. Everybody's going like, who's he pointing at? I'm pointing at you! You know, we are, man. We're full of it. We're full of sin. But that doesn't mean we don't continue to try to do better. It doesn't mean that we don't continue to try to live out our faith. You know, the one thing that we all know in here, right? Amen. Listen, give me this. We know that when we're saved, we can't continue to live the reckless life of sin that we lived before, right? We know that, and so if that's the case, does having authentic Christianity mean that we got to walk the talk? Right? We got to walk what we're saying. We got to be who we say we're supposed to be. See, having authentic Christianity means that we have to live our lives in a way that reflects us being changed by the faith. So, authentic Christianity is also evidence of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this, and to show you that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. Moses came down the mountain with two tablets, looked around and said, this ain't worth it. God said, give him a second chance. So he went back up and he grabbed two more stones and he put them in the Ark of the Covenant, right? Never to be seen by people again. Out of sight, out of mind. Kind of like the Bible. Then he said, well, what about the ink? How many of you guys got a cell phone? Hold your hands up. Anybody read the terms of service? Hold on, there's more. That's the terms of service. It says, I give up all my rights in case there's anything or else the company owns me. They own my cell phone. They own. Praise God that we have it written on our hearts, right? Paul said, Christianity isn't supposed to be some legal binding contract written in ink. It's supposed to be written on our hearts. It's supposed to be a covenant between us and God through Christ Jesus that sacrificed on the cross so that we would have this Spirit inside us, and that would be our covenant relationship. But we don't tap into that. We don't tap into that relationship. You know why? Because we're weird about this Holy Spirit thing. Did you guys hear about the story of the little old lady who lived in Ireland? She was a recluse, but she was filthy rich. And so when electricity came, she was the first one. And everybody's like, what? The crazy lady up on the cliff got electricity? Like, yeah. And so one day the power guy goes out to check the meter. And he looks at the meter. And he taps on it. And then he goes up to the lady and he knocks on the door. Excuse me, ma'am, is your electricity working okay? She said, yeah, it works fine. He goes, well, I've noticed that, you know, your meter doesn't show that much use. She says, it works fine. She goes, I turn it on just so I can light my candles, and then I turn it back off again. That's what we do to the Holy Spirit. We got this Holy Spirit inside us, and we just flick the switch on for a little bit, and then we turn it back off. She was connected to the power, but she didn't let the power use it. What? Are you using your power? The reason we struggle so much with having this abundant life is because the Holy Spirit cannot dwell where sin is. Amen. You know, I spoke about all my issues. And so I constantly have to be on guard to make sure that I'm confessing my sins and receiving the just forgiveness of the Lord so that the Holy Spirit can dwell within me and so that I can continue to do what God calls me to do. How about you? This is where I get to point my fingers. I don't do that very often. Didn't God have to remove his spirit from Jesus Christ? God had to remove his whole spirit from him so he could place the sins of the world on him so that the sins could be forgiven through his shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. Holy Spirit cannot be where sin is. We have to choose between a life that is pleasing to God and a life that is one that is representative of what Jesus has done, as opposed to one that we feel comfortable in. You've heard the saying, "They will know you by your fruits." You guys have all heard this, right? You know this verse. They will know you by your fruits. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. So which do we choose? Do we choose to make the tree of our fruit good, or do we choose to make the tree the fruit of our tree bad. You see, when you have a spirit-filled life, people know. People know because of the fruit produced when they see the Holy Spirit at work. And when they see the Holy Spirit at work, they know the Holy Spirit exists. One last time, I want to talk to you about authentic Christianity being God-centered and not self-centered. Listen to what he says in verses 4 through 6. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. God who has made a covenant, has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So what is this whole sermon about today? Any guesses? Somebody say authentic Christianity. Isn't it about authentic Christianity? Isn't it about becoming more like God and serving others? Becoming more like Christ and serving others. That is the whole premise of everything. And is living at God the very center of our lives? We sang about it here. Luke 10:27, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then the second part of that was what? Love your neighbors. Love your neighbors as yourself. The Bible talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. Well, are we? Are we the ambassadors for Christ? Are we the ambassadors? Because see, we can't be ambassadors when we go out and we stand upon our own mind and our own might. When we stand upon our own mind and our own might, we don't glorify God, we glorify ourselves. And right now, that's what the world sees. Amen? You think that? You guys on tracking with me here? Do you think that the world sees the body of Christ glorifying itself more than it glorifying Christ? Because I tell you, they're seeing these mega churches all around the country, and they're seeing their pastors fall from grace. And they're like, why do I need that? Why do I need to follow that? Because God says we're ministers of the new covenant. You've heard me say this before, but I'm going to tell you, we're ministers of something different. We're ministers of something different. We're ministers of mercy and grace. Just like the song said, we're ministers of reconciliation. God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19, this is from the NIV. It says, and God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to this message of reconciliation. We possess the gospel. We possess the wonderful words of the Lord about salvation. And get this. We have the words to help people discover the freedom of life. I didn't say the freedom from life. I said the freedom of life. We have these words that God has given us. We have this ability to help people understand that there is freedom when we let go of our selfish ways and we come to a place where we desire to help others. Excuse me. Helping the teachers, the staff, the families of Bismarck Henney, ministering in our communities. Like I said, we're seeing people here right now that God has got a hold of, and the Holy Spirit has given and said, I want to help this group of people. How do you help me? How will the church help me? And we're going to help. There's a new buzzword. I don't know if you guys have heard this. Have you guys heard the new buzzword called secret sauce? It's everywhere. Anytime you look around, somebody's like talking about the secret sauce. And they're not talking about that mayonnaise ketchup blend that McDonald's uses. Or the Thousand Island dressing that they put on a Big Mac. That's not what they're talking about. The secret sauce is that this whole thing that helps you navigate, it's an attitude or an ingredient of some kind of methodology. It's a key component of an ingredient or a product. Dr. King, Mahatma Gandhi, Anne Frank, Albert Schweitzer, even the Dalai Lama and King George VI had this thing called secret sauce. You guys are like, what in the world? Where is he going with this? They knew what the secret sauce was to having an abundant life. You know what that is? Serving others. Serving others. They said this, serving others is the most important thing that we can do in this life. Steve Maraboli, this is just a random guy. Actually, he's a behavior psychologist. And a motivational, he's a behavioral scientist specializing in motivational psychology. He said this, a kind gesture can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. A kind gesture can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. You see, my family, when we work to serve others in the power and the Spirit of God, we can impart life and we can impart healing through the living waters of Jesus Christ. You see, the love of Christ genuinely flows from, the love of Christ that genuinely flows from us will help to define authentic Christianity. You see, when we're God-centered and not self-centered, the authenticity of Christ and our faith is revealed through us. Amen? Hey, I'm going to start winding this up. In a few minutes, Chuck and... what's your name? That guy over there are going to be passing out some of these chem lights. Okay? Don't break them. Wait. Be patient. I don't have any for up here for you guys. Would you guys pass those out for me? And while I'm doing that, John's going to come up, and I'm going to start closing this sermon out. Again, please don't break them. Wait. This message, right, it serves as a reminder that we cannot rest upon our successes. I mean, how many of us have, if you've been in any kind of business or anything else, you've probably heard the saying, it's not what have you done for me, it's what have you done for me lately, right? You guys heard this before? See, the body of Christ can no longer retreat into the sanctuary. We can no longer retreat into the sanctuary and expect God to move in the world. We can no longer commend ourselves. We have to be active participants. Active participants to show the world compassionate, loving, and joyful, and peaceful. What that looks like in Christ. So we can strive to be more authentic. That in our lives that can show that the Holy Spirit exists and exists within us. I said earlier, you know, how the world is looking at us right now. The church, I'm talking about the church. 2 Peter, see, God always had a word for that as well. 2 Peter said this, it says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Everybody get one? Everybody get a chem light? Except the guys up there, I'm sorry. See, God has given us his Spirit. And he's given us his Spirit, a spirit of power, and he's written these words of life on our hearts. And he says this, he says, have a genuine faith, but be sincere. Be sincere in it. Let's be centered on God and serving others, loving them as we love ourselves. I gave you guys one of these chem lights. And if you hold it up and look at it, you know, these lights, right, they're meant to glow in the dark, right? They're meant to glow in the dark. But when I hold it up, it doesn't do anything. I can look at it. I can see there's a liquid in there. But it's not doing anything. And I can shake it up. And yet it's not doing anything. It's not doing what it's supposed to. But if I look closely, I can see inside there, there's another liquid. And it's inside a glass tube. And when that tube is broken and it's allowed to flow through, that chem light does what it's supposed to do. It shines before the world. It shines before the world. For the body of Christ, we have to get to a point of brokenness. Go ahead. We have to get to a point of brokenness where our light will shine before others. A world that is in darkness that needs the light of Christ. You may have the indwelling of the Spirit in you, but have you reached a place where your light shines before others? Do you need to be broken so that the Holy Spirit will flow throughout you and begin to shine as God has made us to do, to shine before the lights of men? We must come to a breaking point where pride and selfishness gives way to humility. Because that's what authentic Christianity looks like. It looks today. I'm going to ask you guys, do you really need to feel the Holy Spirit in you? Do you need to feel the Holy Spirit? Do you need the Holy Spirit to flow through you? Then do you need to feel the Holy Spirit? Do you need to get in touch with Him again? Then that means we have to give up the sin. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us from the tops of our feet to the bottoms of our that. Yeah, fill us. Anger, bitterness, hurts, addictions. What you know of your life and what you don't know of your life has to be given to God so that the Holy Spirit can work within you. As John leads us in this time of response, I want you guys to allow the Spirit to seek you and call out the sin that's in your life and then repent and receive the forgiveness offered through Christ.